I'd like to welcome you to the Nationwide Gospel Call. This is Brother Anthony Flunder with the Church of Christ at Manhattan Heights in Lubbock, Texas, co-host of this Nationwide Gospel Evangelistic effort, along with Brother Tommy Brooks, who is the host minister of this Gospel Call, and Brother Austin Wiggins from Vidor, Texas, and Brother Horace Stroud, who are co-hosts. Tonight, we have a first-time speaker on our program in the person of Brother Trezvan O'Neill. Brother O'Neill is from the Lakewood, Washington area, and he is the minister of the Tacoma Church of Christ. His subject tonight is Jesus on your campaign trail? The scriptures he will be preaching from are Matthew chapter 27, verses 11 through 15. We're going to ask everyone at this time to pick up their copy of God's Word and follow along so that you can see for yourself if the things that Brother O'Neill will proclaim are so. So at this time, it is my pleasure to introduce to you Brother Trezvan O'Neill. Preach the word, brother.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to do what I've grown to love more and more, and that is share God's word. As it was said, my name is Trezvan O'Neill, and I'm the minister of the Tacoma Church of Christ outside of Tacoma, Washington, and Lakewood, Washington, which is outside of Seattle. I came here by way of Florida, and God decided to move me as far as he could from Florida without leaving the United States. And I know this was God because Tacoma was not a place that was on my life trajectory. But there's God's plans, and then there are our plans. And I believe in allowing God to move me where he needs me to be. And I believe that's why I'm here on today to share this message to those that really need to hear it. I want to first start by thanking Brother Flunders for reaching out. We met at the Sound Doctrine Summit in Arkansas some years ago, as well as Brother Brooks, who I met briefly in Louisiana, whose curriculum we use quite often here at the Tacoma Church of Christ. And any others that may have anything to do with this great effort of teaching and evangelizing. One other person I wanted to mention is one of my mentors, Brother William Harper, the former minister of the Southside Church of Christ. When I began my journey, he was there at the Church of Christ, Southside Church of Christ, and I heard that maybe some of his family or he may be on the call, so I wanted to properly acknowledge him before we begin. But let's go ahead and get into this lesson. Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to read verses 11 down to about verse number 25. You have your copies of the Bible. The Bible reads, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day and a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. This is a time of year when the campaigns are running. In some cases, they're running us crazy. You have one politician who's destroying the character of another. Politicians are playing hide-and-go-seek with their agendas. We vote for our man or our woman, and then they get into office, and we're upset because they didn't produce the way we thought or the way we were told they would, when in actuality, we didn't know who they were in the first place. We just read a pamphlet. Sometimes we think, especially in the church, that our vote is going to take America back for Christ. Yes, we should vote, but only Christ can change a man's heart for the best. Notice I didn't say the better, but for the best. We take our values and we drop them in a ballot box, and then we are good. And we should vote. I'm not taking away from the importance of voting. The questions that I have for you as we go into this lesson is, what I'd like each of us to answer is, when it comes to our eternal salvation, what are we voting for? When the truth approaches your morals and your ethics, what will be your response? Have you put in the work to make sure your campaign is secure? Even as a member, I must continually work to make sure that my campaign is effective. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5, the Bible says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And then it goes on and says those things that we should add, virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. But I wanted to focus on verse number 5 because it opens up and it says, giving all diligence. I want you to know and understand that diligence is work. And it takes work to build on our faith. But if you drop down to verse number 10, it says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, there's that word again, or put in the work to make your calling and your election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. That doesn't mean that we won't fail, but even in our failures, we can be lifted up. So if we do these things, making our calling and election sure, we will never fall. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you might have the wrong candidate on your ballot. I'm pretty sure you do. Is Jesus on your campaign trail? Jesus must be there because there is nothing a man can give that can get us into heaven. Today, let's look at the politician that had the truth that confronted his ethics. And then we can see the behavior of man and how we should not let this affect our behavior. So the title, as it was given, is Jesus on Your Campaign Trail. And what I want to explain on this evening is that believers must realize that the political mindset of picking what we want serves its purpose in the world, but it has no place when it comes to our salvation. Is Jesus on your campaign trail? The first point that I want to bring out is that if he is, we must recognize that Jesus is our King. If Jesus is on your campaign trail, we must recognize the evidence that Jesus is Christ. That's our second point. And the third point that I wanted to look at is that if Jesus is on our campaign trail, then we must recognize that our politics or our political mindset can't save us from our sins. And the idea that I would like you to take home with you, if you don't take home anything else, does your campaign promote Jesus? Politics, as a definition, is a debate or a conflict among individuals or parties having or hoping to achieve some kind of power. We must know who Jesus is. And once we know who Jesus is, we'll realize that there is no debate. And we will know that all power has been given to Jesus in heaven and in earth. We can find that in Matthew 28 and 18. But going ahead and getting to these scriptures on tonight, Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse number 11, the Bible reads, "And Jesus stood before the governor," or this politician, "and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest, it is what you say it is." First of all, the question that I have is, do we realize who Jesus is? And once we recognize there is no other that can do what Jesus did, do we accept him as our Savior and King? If we put Jesus as a priority, then we wouldn't have so much invested into our politics, our morals, and our ethics. We see here these politics or this governor questioning Jesus. Verse number 12, it says, "And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" You see, Pilate is a Roman politician who is more concerned with what others think. When it comes to Jesus and matters concerning our salvation, we can't get caught up into what other people think. I spend so much of my time as a preacher, and I know other preachers do as well, trying to reel those back in who have been listening to what others think instead of following what God has planned for them. You see, some of us, as Pilate was doing, would crumble under this pressure. We must not allow man to change our thoughts on Jesus. You see, that's a political mindset, one that has its own agenda. Is Jesus on your campaign trail? Verse number 14 says, "And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly." Jesus had not been in his confession. We must hold steady as well. Keep in mind, Jesus was preparing to die and to return to the Father. What are we preparing for? Are we preparing? What are we running for? Is our calling and election sure? If it's in politics, ethics, and morals without Jesus, then we are running to fail. What lens are we looking through? 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7 through verse number 10, it says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." There was a man that said that if we look through a piece of red glass, Republicans, then everything is red. Through a blue glass, Democrats, then everything is blue. I say that if we look through politics, then everything becomes political. The glorious truth is that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, God looks at us through Christ. He sees us in all the holiness of his Son. That is the great New Testament doctrine of the accusation of our sins through the account of Christ and his righteousness to our account. As I roll into the second point, I want us to know that we must recognize the evidence that Jesus is Christ. Verse number 15 says, "Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas." That word notable means that they knew who Barabbas was. They had the evidence that he was who they said he was. They had evidence for Jesus as well, but they were ignoring his evidence. The evidence was in prophecy and in scripture. They knew Jesus was coming, but they denied him. You can see over in Psalms 2, 4 through 12. I won't go through all of those scriptures. Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. Micah 5, 2 through 5. We know and they knew that Jesus was coming. And then the evidence was in his works. He showed them he was of God, but they still denied him. Verse 17 of our lesson text, it says, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. You see, according to the politics, they knew that Jesus should not have been there. Envy. Envy is jealousy or spite. Jesus was drawing people to him, and they couldn't understand how this carpenter could draw man to him. That's the power of God's word. Not really realizing that the evidence points to Jesus as Christ. You see, envy can be dangerous. Envy is contentment. Envy is when you don't tend to your own yard. Know that envy and love does not coexist. Some of us may not have envy, but we may have denial. Some of us have pride that we deal with. That's a weight that we carry around that keeps us from moving closer to our salvation. Some of us love our sin, and we don't want to be exposed. Some of us deny Jesus because we don't believe who he is and that God sent him as our Savior. But we must stick to the facts. Don't ignore the evidence. The evidence said in a very familiar scripture in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse number 19 says, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, talking to Pilate. For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And verse number 20, but the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. More politics confronting the truth. Jesus was truth, or is truth, was truth in the flesh. And this was God's plan, church or family and visitors and friends, as painful as this experience was, it was God's plan. We can keep denying all the evidence. We can keep denying all we want, but we must know that God is still in control, no matter how crooked, no matter how evil, no matter how political this world is. And looking at our last point, we must recognize that our politics can't save us from our sins. Verse number 21 says, the governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain, or which of these two shall I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Remember, they knew who Barabbas was. Verse 22 said, Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. Question for you. If we know the truth, why are we asking what men think? I got a pamphlet in front of me I just got in the mail on yesterday for voting. Look at all the referendums they're passing. They want to teach your child about sex education. Have you ever thought about what that involves? What your child would be exposed to? See, we are now, we're at a place nowadays where we are uncomfortable with teaching our children, so we want to pass it off to someone else, and we don't know what they're putting into our child's mind. Well, at least they're learning something, you may say. Yeah, that's because we fail to teach. Here in the Northwest, we have an option in the schools to opt out of teaching sex education to our children. So what I'm trying to do is get some other ministers and teachers in the area to come together, because we still have to let them know that they've been taught, and teach them the way that God wants them to know. And be real with them as well. But we can't allow man to use his politics to keep us from what God has for us. Verse number 23 says, and the governor said, why? Why? What evil hath he done? That question was so loaded because he knew that he hadn't did anything. What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. The Jews didn't like Pilate anyway. And with washing of his hands, that was a Jewish ritual that showed cleanliness. But even under Jewish customs, it did not remove sin. Pilate was scared of losing his influence, so he denied the truth. He could not handle the truth. And we still have a problem handling the truth today. Make your calling and your election sure. I'm a little bit ahead of my time here. Verse number 25 says, then all the people, and then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on all our children. Let me share this story with you. There was a young man who was very mischievous and liked to get into things. And as much as his father tried to talk to him, he still did what he wanted to do, even as a young man. Well, his father left him in the car one day. He could barely see over the steering wheel. He said, I'm going to run in the store real quick, and I'll be right back out. He didn't want to take him into the store because it was a glass shop, and he knew he would break something. So he left him in the car. The young man got behind the steering wheel, and he put the car in gear, and the car began to roll down the hill. Someone ran into the shop and said, sir, your car is rolling down the hill. And he screamed out frantically, saying, my son is in that car. As he ran out of the store, he was yelling and screaming because he knew he wasn't going to be able to catch up. Please, someone help me. Please, someone help me. My son is in that car. It just so happened that there was a teenager on the other side of the street that saw the car moving and was close enough to run the car down, jump into the car, stop the car before it ran into traffic, and the young man sitting in the car did not even know what was going on. He just moved back to his spot like nothing happened. Well, some years and years later, this young man, he continued that life of being mischievous and getting into things that he shouldn't, and he ended up in the courtroom for some very serious accusations. And as he stood there before the judge, the father was pleading to the judge, he's a good boy, and please help me to get him off, and we'll get him right, and we'll get him straight. And the young man, remember, looked at the judge and said, hey, I know you. You were the same person that jumped in that car on that day when I was rolling down that hill. And the judge said, yes, I do remember that. And he asked him, could you please help me? The judge said, back away from the bench. He said, young man, when I jumped in that car on that day, I was your savior. But on today, I am your judge. We need to know that Christ is still in the saving business. He came and he died for each and every one of us. But when Christ returns, he will not come as the Savior, because that's already been done. He will come as the judge that will judge each and every one of us. So we must make our calling and our election sure while we have time. You've heard this lesson on this evening. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But do you believe that that word is true? Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, there's that word again, put in the work, those that put in the work to seek him. I'm pleading to you that we must put in that work to seek Jesus. then we must repent of our sins. Luke 13:3, I tell ye nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance means that we're going to change. We're going to let go of those politics. We're going to let go of those worldly ways. We're going to let go of all of this worldly thinking and ethics and morals that have nothing to do with our salvation. And we're going to change to live for Christ. And then we must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10:9-10 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You have preachers that are on this call that are ready to take your confession. Are you ready? And then there's the watery grave of baptism. And then on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached that powerful sermon, those men and those that were gathered there said, what shall I do? And Peter said unto them in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Not only will you have your sins removed, you will receive a gift that will guide you into all understanding. And then after you get out of that water, you can go on to be the worker and continue to build and make sure that your calling and your election is sure, being a servant of the Lord. You have the opportunity to do so on this evening. Won't you do so? At this time, I will turn the call back over to the brothers. Thank you.